No.
Do you ever wear them?
Mm-mm.
Is your hearing still okay? Like after all the years?
She looked up like,
it's okay, yeah.
No, I know. Mine's not. Mine's not. There's no way. No way. That many years, like in front of speakers?
Do you wear earplugs?
Now I do, yeah, because of a cookbook. He always wears them, and he got me to wear them now. Like at concerts, anyways.
Can you turn mine down a little bit?
Too? Yeah.
Thank you.
Check, right out there.
Yeah.
There's some like specialty. Did you get like some specialty ones or like just like the cheap basic?
No, I just buy the disposable.
Because there's these specialty ones that my friend Myra gave me, and like you hear, like you can have conversations like at a concert. It's like really clear.
I don't know. How does that work?
It's pretty dope.
Are they like electronic?
They're like, I don't know, maybe. There's some sort of a special design to them. You couldn't quite clarify. I'm going to look them up.
Like a chip or?
It's not a noise canceling?
Yeah, it's something like that. But like, it's just like a special kind of, it's not electronic, like it's not on, but just the way that it's designed the material. Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They use it because, you know, we go out to events a lot. And
yeah, we think. Well, yesterday when we were at the, at 60s event, the DJ was, that was the first time a DJ asked me, like, hey, do you guys have earplugs? And I never, like, yo, we should have earplugs at every event because people probably need earplugs.
Dude, my boy Alan, he's a producer, and he had, like, at some point he had his headphones on and was, like, doing something on the mixer, and something popped. And
he lost his hearing, right?
No, he has his hearing. It's a constant
Yeah, see, that's the kind of shit that scares me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to fuck with that.
That's his whole life now. Like, that's the new norm. And every once in a while, the frequency changes just a little bit. But all day, every day.
He can't get that fixed?
No, it's like a disorder that he has to live with for the rest of his life. So he, like,
sleeps. Yeah, because eardrum damage is forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't reverse eardrum damage. No.
They haven't figured out that technology yet. So on that incredibly sad note, we should start the show.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And that was Bill the Wonder, guys.
Don't flush the toilet. You are now tuned in to the Crappy Awesome Podcast. And welcome to another noise-canceling episode of the Crappy Awesome Podcast. We're your host, the Diego Brown Project. I am Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. And with me is Kiel C-Ray, even though we'll just call him Chris.
Hey, yo.
We're, of course, brought to you by Platform Collection, the amazing, stupendous, fabulous website where you can go and look at all kinds of music videos and essays and content that will keep you busy for the next 43 hours straight. Maybe that's going to be a new thing.
Yeah.
Like a random number. while you're there, make sure you check out...
What would you do there for 43 hours?
I don't know.
And I don't even know what you would do there for 43 hours.
I watched...
You guys have... There's a lot of content.
There's a lot of content, but...
Yeah, like I went on that website and I was like,
did you put at least an hour in?
I put enough time to be like...
To know that it was
confused.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, there's so much. Yeah, yeah.
It's time for me to leave. I don't even know what my name is anymore.
Yeah.
I would probably put it on, I don't know... Kill C-Ray's Let It Rain music video and just put that on repeat for 40 hours.
Just so you can get views.
Yeah. So I can watch more of the video that I did.
Good, man. Think about everybody.
There we go. Mostly me. while you're there, check out our sibling podcast. There's Life on the Road with 60 East.
Yeah.
Really, though?
Oh, I just
really
did
though?
That.
You just
did
that. 60 East?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
You're doing the rotations. So, like, next you got to go on Really, Though? With Cookbook.
With Cookbook.
Orchestrated, hosted by Noah James and Lisa J.
Yeah, shout out to them.
Proof of Life Radio, hosted by Kali.
Kali.
Status Escalate,
Kali.
Hosted by Kali. And also, make sure to check out Bars Weekly.
Kali.
Hosted by Kali.
He's killing it.
He's taking over half
our
fucking network.
That's a dude who takes his hosting serious.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. yeah, make sure to check that out. That's all over at platformcollection.com. Also, the Ghetto Blaster podcast, hosted by Ricochet.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fresh. By Muds One.
Meh.
Like, it's kind of, it's pretty fresh. Check that out.
He named it.
I know.
It's not like we're...
Very Muds One of him.
Yeah.
The Tumex Hologram Podcast. And make sure to check out Tumex back on K-Day with Water to Plants. that is on at 2 a.m. till about 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Saturday night. That's about the time that you're rolling home after being at the club.
Doing we're stuff assuming, you shouldn't be doing.
We're assuming all of our listeners go to the club on Saturday
making
night.
Mistakes. Making huge. I'm pretty sure most of our listeners don't go to
yeah.
the club.
I don't know if some of our listeners will be allowed into the club.
It's true. That is good.
They'd probably go to a grungy dive bar.
Probably
somewhere.
Not dressed for it.
No. No, not with those shoes. And of course, 2Max Hologram Radio is still going long, hard, and strong.
With a pimp limp.
Make sure to check that out. The links are all over at platformcollection.com, but the listening platform of choice is TuneIn Radio.
Yeah.
So make sure to check that out. Shout out to our sponsors, Stay Illuminated, for all your fresh gear and lifestyle needs. Visit stayilluminated.com and utilize the code CRAPPYAWESOME for free shipping. On any order.
And are you still saying Tony's hand delivering?
Only if you're in L.A.
Oh, okay. Because then it's Linowski.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you live in Canada...
He's ever driving the delivery truck that day.
If you live in Canada, Linowski will drive
to
your
pad. So if I order something from Stay Illuminated, I get a delivered by Linowski?
Well, are you out of the... Yeah, you're out of the L.A. County area. That's Linowski's area.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Tony has L.A., Linowski has the rest of the globe.
Right. I think he also does Uber Eats, if you need that.
Yeah. That'll work. I mean, he's got to make his PhD money somehow.
That's true.
Peep our creative partners over at watertoplants.org. Water to Plants is a music incubator in the LA area. Make sure to check that out. Lots of interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Follow us on Instagram at Platform Collection. That is one word all spelled out. And on Twitter at Platform Collect.
Notion.
With Notion. And Burner Podcast.
Yeah.
Hosted by yours truly. Yours truly means me, by the way.
Yours truly.
Yeah. That covers the Burning Man.
Not like Fora?
No, not Fora.
Like
truly.
You.
Me.
Like actually you.
Actually me.
Not Fora.
Covers the Burning Man community. That's over at burnerpodcast.com. There's links over to it at Platform Collection.
Yes.
They're getting better.
Yeah, what do you mean?
I don't know.
You're linked up. We got you.
Tell them about Stitcher and iTunes and all that.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker.
Spreaker.
Go over to platformcollection.com. You can hear every episode all the way back to episode zero. Not sure why you'd want to go back that far.
I know, what a weirdo.
It wasn't good. Chuck.
You know, what I experience a lot, people will discover a podcast, they'll listen to a couple of episodes, and they're like, oh, I like this, and then they go to the beginning.
And that's a mistake.
Yeah, you should.
I'm going to say that right now.
Lose all respect for me, at least.
Start, like, I say, like, Blimes, well, she wasn't even, it was Oh Blimey at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Start there.
Yeah. What number is it, 65?
65, I believe.
That was her first time on?
That was her very first. That was... Weirdly enough, today we're here with Vel, who's like the last person in that video, that initial video that honestly like got us like connected in this scene.
It only took 300 episodes.
It only took 300 episodes for her to show up.
Are you guys at 300?
Yeah.
Well, we're past that. What are we
past that now?
305
or something.
Oh, really? That was like 320 or something.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But
I don't do numbers.
But nonetheless, dude, Vel the Wonder, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
It's amazing to have you.
Once a rider, forever stay riding it better than fighting against it. Some pliers to fix it like dolls and kitchens. Stove top broke off, but I couldn't tell. We use the same shit to turn the TV on well. Saturday morning cartoons to keep the calm room. Conversations with no one over a cereal bowl on top of carpet. Cocoa puffs floating in a plastic bowl with a built-in straw. Makes it easier for you to milk it all. Running around thinking mom's was the biggest. In reality, yo, we could barely even fit the fridge in. TV runs the game when mom's away. Dad's always working. Now, well, I trying to watch me, yo, but I keep putting work in. Yo, at a younger age, I had the innocent phase, but with my mother's aid, I turned my fear into rage. And with my love for pain, I found a loss I could gain. Golden era instrumentals, a positive thing. I'm just a lead off hitter trying to advance to the next base. Your pitcher's looking to change it, but can't handle my next phase. Bunted the ball rolls, now I'm racing around first base. Stunning my call goes. If he hasn't thrown it, run it, the crowd roars. Fuck it, I slide it around more. Quick enough to touch it, I grab floor. Reach up and sit up on my ground more. The blue yell safe, but who else did it? I stood on base. Mooted, I got my hood on face. Born with it, write it out with some form in it. Advancing ahead of the game, informative. Watch my style go, don't stop me. Male or female, don't at me. I am the imperial MC. Not even material can stretch me. Got hot rhymes, yet you use my period against me. Label me up, staple my whole catalog in a bag. Sell it for $8 to $10. Plus a ramen in a bag, chicken, a beef. But I'm quick on my beef, so let me chop sticks and pick up sick on these beats.
Arigato.
Yo, at a younger age, I had an innocent phase, but with my mother's aid, I turned my fear into rage, and with my love for pain, I found a loss like a gain. Golden era instrumentals, a positive thing. I worked the whole nine innings, overtime's the most high hitting. Like when you picture a mental image visualizing me, seems the most fitting when I fall in a margin. A promise to tomorrow is as killer as arson. Majority wins, but we both know the vote's out of hand. Yo, POTUS not the one who you think it command. You'll stay resilient. Yo, my people can see, we know what Philly is. When we walk down the street, yo, can you really dance? When I drop on the beat, cash trying to see if they be more proper than me. But it's hard to be brilliant, more than just a little bit. You about as common as $1 in a million. I've been doing this for too long to be irrelevant. They make profit off my culture, I'm living for the hell of it. This all goes back to my name and how I'm really spelling it. I better reap these benefits. That's two out of four elements. What better way to tell them than a rap song about graffiti and how she always needs me? Yo, ain't no competing. Yo, nothing greedy. I'm just the one who's holding her hand. Yo, better than anything she had planned from a man. And if he wanna step up, yo, I could check him too. Recommend him for press, collect my money that's due. So if he doesn't step up, he needs to step down. Me and my sisters are born with it. Filler, we don't get crowns. Killer, we gon' get down. Milk it through the breast now. Yes, I'm capable of crime. Don't mean I'm gon' confess now.
You're gearing up like for another push with a new project.
Yeah, definitely.
Is this a project a year so far for the last 2 years? Are you doing, what are you averaging right now, project wise?
So in the last eight months, I released two projects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full length.
Wow.
Full length, yeah. Prior to that, it had been 3 years. So
3 years.
It had been 3 years since I
got it. Man, it was 3 years?
Yeah, Lace of Pearls dropped in January 1st, 2014.
Wow.
And Melatonix was the second project to drop. That was December 2nd, 2016. And then I dropped Joyride on August 24th, 2017.
Wow.
You like Dave Chappelle'd it. Like, came back.
Yeah, yeah.
Full length things.
Like, yeah. I'm out.
Yeah. I'm back.
Like, after Lace of Pearls, like, the first project for me to come out with or even like really put together. And after that, I was just trying to figure out what I was going to do, what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it.
But do you feel, well, okay, wait, let's back up though. So people, this is your first time on the show. So I definitely want people to catch up who may not be familiar, which would be really weird if you're listening to the show. But, you started rapping around what age? Or, like, what point in your life? High school, junior high?
I'd say, well, I mean, I definitely got into the elements early on in probably, like, middle school.
Yeah. Sure. And you say elements of hip-hop, I'm assuming. And did you know, how did you discover, like, even the elements of hip-hop?
Definitely growing up, listening to music that my dad would play. My dad was a DJ prior to me being born, so he had a lot of West Coast music playing. But I think when I got to middle school, my environment that I grew up in, I actually had a couple homegirls that were a little bit older than me that did graph and listen to hip hop, and that's where I found my first group of inspiration from.
What kind of kid were you? Were you? I mean, like,
I was really, really shy. Like, beyond shy. Like, fucking would get heebie-jeebies if somebody wanted to talk to me. Like, I was super shy. I played sports my whole entire life.
Yeah.
I was really, like, honor roll student. I had, like, really good grades.
Okay.
But then when I got to middle school, it all changed.
Because of?
I'd say marijuana.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That's the gateway drug.
Good Lord.
No. I think after I kind of started smoking weed, I realized, like, oh shit, like, I'm tripping. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I loosened up a lot more. I started, like, really exploring, like, something other than what, like, school had taught me, you know, like a systematic.
But what age is this?
Like 12. 13?
Okay, so, I mean, obviously, you know, like, that's, it's not like, like not a generalized way of like somebody growing up, right? Like you've had to hear enough stories at this point.
My neighborhood, it was kind of normal.
So you're saying in your neighborhood, everybody at 12 was smoking weed and then opening their minds.
What they did after smoking weed, I don't know.
No, I'm talking about that point because you know that point. Probably anybody who's ever.
I think even if it wasn't for weed, though.
You were already going that direction.
Yeah, that was already the like routine that I was headed towards. You know.
Yeah.
More of like an artistic style. I think I was really into like drawing and colors, and I had some homegirls that were like a year older than me that had like black books. That was like the first time I ever seen a black book was from another girl.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. So that regardless of smoking weed, I think that was already in that direction.
And then like one of the things that definitely at least for me as a listener of your music, something that's like really defined what you do is like the layers of thought. There's a lot of stuff that you write where it feels like it's not for anybody but you. And then there's stuff that you write where you could tell it's for a lot of other people. You're one of those people who also like creates characters based on real, based on not. That kind of complex artistry isn't something that, for the most part, dude, like I'm telling you, after 300 episodes, we've talked to a ton of different artists.
305.
It's 305. It's not that common because people who do end up like that end up on shows talking about that. You understand what I'm saying? Like, so okay. it's not that common. So for you, was there something that sparked it? Like, was there something that, I mean, was your dad, like, encouraging this? Like, hey, go out there and be, like, what?
No, like,
because you were also shy, so.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to figure out what was the mix that sparked. Was it a book? Was it I don't know, like a movie?
You know, I think it was just, like, shit that had led up to it. So I was, like, already into hip-hop. I started going to a lot of hip-hop festivals.
Yeah.
I was already into graph. I moved from where I had grown up from.
Yeah.
And then once I moved, it was really boring where I moved to. So I just spent all my time trying to learn how to paint and got more into that. And then pretty much after I graduated, I was just running around.
Doing that?
Yeah. Just I think I was for sure just living in my environment and my in my elements, definitely.
Right. So did you, was there anything happening in your life at that time that was like introducing you to anything beyond like those limits? Like did you care? Like did you even want to go beyond those limits? Were you so like immersed Mm-mm. with what you were doing?
Yeah, I was I had no like planned or no, nothing like that. No.
The reason I ask is because it seems like you've, at least from an outsider looking in, right? And this is like part of our job is to pay attention to this shit. So one of the things that I like notice is that your career-wise, it seems, and I don't know, again, from an outsider looking in, I don't know the inner dynamics, but it does seem like you're definitely on a path that you're like determined to define. Like you're not, when there are people, because dude, I've heard all the conversations about Vel should do this, Vel should do, why is Vel not doing this thing? Or Vel could be, it's always Vel could be. And I have to think at that, at this point, and I don't know, I could be wrong. It could be more of a newer thing, but business-wise, marketing-wise, all that's, I'm sure you understand all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So it is. Are you making a conscious choice to not, like, follow some of these paths? Like,
yeah, for sure,
so
absolutely.
So for sure it's a conscious, yeah. I'm not doing that.
It's pretty much like everyone likes to tell me, you know, what I could be doing.
Sure.
Who I should be working with.
I bet.
You know, why I haven't done certain things.
Yeah.
And it's, at the end of the day, it's like the super fucking coolest part about it is it's my decision.
Yeah.
And it's always been my decision. And I think that's like what, this is probably the reason why I keep doing what I'm doing is because I'm able to stay in control of what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, the same people that are asking these questions are the same people that are still keeping up with me, you know?
Sure, yeah. And I don't think, like a lot of the circles where I hear the conversations, none of it seems to be coming from a place of like, we don't like what she's doing. It's usually coming from a place of like, I'm a super fan and man, it would be dope to see her like at whatever the next biggest platform they want to put there, right? For whoever they feel should be there.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and so I know it comes from a good place. And as an artist, I understand the control factor. So when you look at the like the demographic of like, yo, this is what's happening in the music scene. You're an artist. I would, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I think this is something that has to be like clarified. Are you, do you see yourself as someone who would like to make a living making rap records? And everything that comes with it. Obviously, I'm simplifying it.
In this current state, yeah, definitely. That's pretty much what I already do.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, absolutely not. But will I continue to like move forward and
evolve and
absolutely?
Yeah, of course.
That's already the plan.
But I'm dying to know what you want to do once this is done.
I have a lot of things that I'd like to do, a lot.
Mm. Is it still in the creative fields?
Oh, yeah, for sure, absolutely. Okay. But there's also some that I kind of, you know...
That people may not have, like, a hunch about.
Yeah, for sure, definitely.
So, like, and that's cool, because I've always wondered that, too, because it seems like your fans, and you have, man, you have, like, real fans, and there's people, like, I had the privilege of watching you perform last night.
Yeah.
And I've never done that. I've never had a part where I had to interview the person the next day.
Oh, yeah.
So the way I was watching the performance was different, you know? So it was very interesting to see. Here's one thing that you've always had, and I think you and I have talked about this on this show, that you've had the girls have just rode for you, like, from the beginning. Like, and... One of the things that we've talked about on this show, and I mean, like the Cypher Effect thing, at this point, we all know the history of it. We've talked about it on the show. We've dissected it, whatever, everything happens with it. But the regardless of what happened, the beauty of that moment is part of the path that got us to where we're at right now. Period. There's no arguing that. That did happen. Why do I know that? Because it's what made us fall in love with it. You know what I mean? Like, and then because of that, now there's Platform Collection, now there's podcast. Like, so I understand like the connection to it and the importance of it. But I also understand how like the thought of it could get draining. Like, of okay, that was this one moment. But I can tell you, like I told Blimes, like I told Rev, I've told them all. I think that's mostly you guys, because you guys were so close to it. I think your fans have grown with you. I think your fans have, they don't necessarily give a fuck about that anymore.
Yeah,
because especially where you guys are all at right now, everybody is definitely in a distinct lane, has nothing to do with anybody else, what they're doing. But you guys define that. And because it began at that point, it's always going to be a point of interest because people are, because here's what's undeniable. A magic happened. Whatever that was, we can't define it or whatever, but a magic happened. And when you watch it, you can still see the magic. So we originally entered into this scene working with George. Like, we worked with George for a long time, you know? And
George is cool.
Yeah, and ultimately when we decided not to work there anymore, it was nothing over a personal thing. It was simply creative. And so... being able to see it from that standpoint and seeing it through his perspective, a lot of the credit for the whole thing was given to you. And I've heard it multiple times. And I just want to know if that was that the initial idea of that cipher? Can you clarify? Because I know Blimes, she couldn't remember. She was like, I don't remember exactly who contacted me. And there's a bunch of Gav's been on here, talked about it. Did you come to George with that idea?
Yeah, I did.
You reached out to him and said, why don't we do a female cipher?
I reached out to him and asked him why there wasn't a female.
Okay, cipher. Okay. And up until that point, there just hadn't been, period, right? That was the first one there.
And were you observing, like, what he was doing with Cypher Effect before that, or had at some point you guys made contact about doing a Cypher and then the idea came to you?
I kind of accidentally came across the Cypher Effect when it was in its first stages. I think there was probably like less than 10 Cyphers, less than 20 Cyphers for sure. And I was actually like into watching battle rap at that time.
Yeah.
No, I had no interest in being a battle rapper ever. I thought it was kind of cool to watch those type of videos. And of course, like the Cypher Effect would pop up and recommend it. And I noticed that there wasn't a female Cypher, and I just emailed him. I think he had like a you can contact on the side or whatever. And I just asked him why there wasn't a female Cypher.
Like, were you in the habit of contacting random people on YouTube, or this was just the one person that you?
No, why? I never contacted anybody.
Was it something that just bothered you? Did it bother you?
No, I was more. I guess I was just more curious of why had there not been one.
Yeah. Okay. Because this is the part that I think a lot of people always try to fill in, right? Like when they're looking at your career. There's things that are done very like systematically. Like you could see like, okay, there's a lot of thought from like the creation of the art to like how it's mixed, how it plays in your car. Like all that shit, you can hear that. And yet there's this whole other side where I feel like the audience feels like Vel just likes to float. Like Vel's just floating, and like, and that, I'm telling you as a fan, that always bothered me a little bit, because I was like, I feel like you're kind of missing, like I felt like there was a lot of thought into it. Like, because here's the thing, how long did we talk? Almost like a year straight, right? Where I didn't know, I can tell you honestly, it's dope to tell you to your face, by the way. I didn't buy it. The first time I saw the cipher, I was like, no, this has got to be
way too well constructed.
Yeah. I was like, there's too much behind this. It's too perfect. Like, this is too perfect of a moment. And it was such a moment. And then I met George and I was just like, fuck. No, like, yeah, he's flying by the seat of his pants right now. Like, oh, this is all fresh. Like, this is happening as we're talking about. Really was a moment.
We thought there was, like, a corporate conglomerate behind it. Because and it would have been more design
because,
put into
dude,
it. And it made to look like it was, you know, more street, but it really wasn't.
And we've talked to, like, SP about this, too, right? Here's the thing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever thought about that. But that formula that happened with that cipher, and a lot of the business and marketing that came out of that has been copied thousands of times now, and even outside of hip hop. And the idea of those things and like collective energy, and okay, and then we can filter promotion out through the entire collective, and then so on and so on and so on.
Yeah.
How we all know it, like it's every day now.
Yeah.
But at that time, it wasn't being done.
Mm-hmm.
That it caused a whole, like, and dude, every time I say it, I understand, I cringe too, but there isn't another way to explain the scene or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but I know there's something.
Yeah.
There's magic happening all over the fucking place right now. And I feel like had that moment not happened, we wouldn't be on this trajectory. And I know that because I've dedicated 6 years of my life to figuring out why that happened. And I know it for a fact. We would not be here doing a lot of that stuff had that moment not happened. And so when I look at your career, it's hard for me to go like, oh, she's just out there winging it. Or she's just like, oh, she's such a free spirit that all of this is just chance. Because it takes away a lot of credit to you having the ability to go like, okay, I need to do this thing. I want to fill this in. How much of your mind deals with like looking at social media as a tool, looking at what your music is doing numbers wise, like how much of it do you feel like you have to pay attention to?
I mean, I have to pay attention to all of it.
Yeah.
You know? And I think in the recent time to come, I've definitely like given it more of my attention, but it hasn't, I'm too creative. I feel like to really dedicate like 100% of myself to things like that. I'm grateful to have a great team that helps me out with that.
Is that new?
Having
like a consistent team.
Yeah, definitely.
Within like the last year or so?
Within the last couple years.
Okay.
Um,
was that when you started doing the videos with like Left Right and Was it around that time when?
Yeah, I'd say like around that time for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And up into that point, was it simply you just hadn't found a team, or it hadn't occurred to you to make a team?
You know, I think people don't understand like that. This is like my first 5 years of even making music.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's what we're trying to get. I'm trying to get down to that. What those moves are really credited to, because the actuality of it is, I don't expect that there's. I'm trying to figure out like how much like business experience do you even have overall? Because if not, dude, you're running a great.
I don't have any experience.
Gotcha.
This is all me learning.
Learning as we're watching.
This is all my trial and tribulation.
Yeah.
Lace with Pearls was the first thing that I ever put, I think, 1,000% of myself into.
Yeah.
Before you connected with the team, what was your thought process on how to push your project out? Was it just create it and let it out and see what happens? Or did you have an idea of, I'm going to tease it this way and get it out this way?
No, my whole 100% thought process of it was to make the best creative project that I would feel 100% satisfied, mm-hmm. and then let everyone have it for free, digitally at least. That way the world can experience it.
Right.
That was my process.
But it's kind of interesting because, like, with you specifically, it feels like there's a mystique that's been created around the lack of access and interviews.
No, no, no.
That's what's, 100%. Like, builds up a lot of
and
this
mystery. And I'll let you know, too, like, the first 3 years of me making music, I made it a point not to do any interviews.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
I didn't want to.
But was it, okay, like, was that...
It didn't matter to me.
It didn't matter to you?
The, like... People finding out like who I was, that didn't matter to me. Mm. At least not yet.
Yeah.
Now I look at it in a different perspective, to where me not allowing myself for people to listen to my music is just, it's taking away from their experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Their interpretation of it all, really. Yeah.
Something that the different part of it, though, is that there's lots of artists out there who are like, I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. And yet somehow with you, it ended up contributing to your marketing.
No,
with lots of other artists.
Which is why I think...
And I'll tell you right now, too, I've been around other artists, peer artists of mine, that when we go somewhere, they'll introduce themselves to people right then and there. They don't matter who they meet. Mm-hmm. The gas attendant, the clerk at Ralph's. I've seen people like...
Sure.
People, and then me, I don't do that. I actually will deny like what I do, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why, I just...
So, like, because, I mean, there's a part of you, right, that, and this is something that's, again, very unique to, like, the only time you ever hear stories of, like, people growing up in, like, public, right, is when we're watching them on TV or, right, that's what's so weird about this, again, scene, because there's a shitload of people that people pay very close attention to. I mean, a lot of attention to. And mind you, if we just look at any other scene, Atlanta, Texas, Oakland, all of them, they all started the same way. It's just an evolution. There's a pushback against it at first. People don't know how to deal with publicity because it's a lot.
Yeah.
But you guys got, like, a lot of you guys got, like, a great big following where, dude, I've seen people cry at your concerts. That's fucking crazy. Like, you know, and... It's crazy when you think about that power and then you making the statement that, dude, I've only been in this for 5 years. Like, yeah, that's what's so crazy about it. Because usually you don't see that kind of response to something that isn't super well packaged. And so one of the things that I always said was the power of the scenes here, because we live in San Diego, which is even crazier.
Wow, you guys live in San Diego?
Yeah, but we've been doing it for 6 years, you know? So it's weird to us, and I think it was in our favor to be able to see everything from the outside. Mm-hmm. So we saw everything from the outside, and for what it was, right? So when I say, like, nothing like that was happening anywhere else, that was true. At that period, nothing like that's happening. And now, flash forward, you guys... A lot of you guys have had to grow up in front of, like Sage just said today, you guys have literally seen me grow up and it's documented. Mm. Like, you've documented, he's got like 4 episodes where every time he comes on, you can see him like grow.
Yeah.
Gavin's first interview ever was on this show. So, and then to see like Europe, and then like now she's this adult and it's like, talking to SP last night about that whole people want to hear what I said at 15. That's, I understand the frustration of that a lot for him, right? Especially for him, because that the fan base was what it was, right? And not everybody grows with you. But when you look at it, when you yourself look at it, do you notice the things that are happening around your peers and the energy that's happening? Because it seems like it's obviously building up again.
Yeah.
Because people are coming to age.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sure. And you said you don't necessarily see yourself doing this forever. Well, not this form of whatever you're doing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But, like, monetarily wise, making a living off of this, did you see, like, the team thing as a necessity? Like, I have to get a team because I've reached a point where...
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so was you literally hitting that point?
Yeah, definitely.
It was just too much?
Yeah, I can't... I've already reached a point where I can't even, like, be at a show alone. Like, I have to...
Yeah.
Have to have... thankfully, I have homegirls that have been my friends forever and
yeah.
down to help me out. They believe in what I do, and then... I have, like, Fourth Beats and Kevin and Locally Girls
yeah.
that also back me up, you know, and that just came with time. And I think, like, me finding trust in my friends and them, you know, wanting to help me out as seen necessary, you know.
Do you have siblings?
I do.
How many?
I have 3 siblings.
Okay. Are you, like, the, where do you fall?
I'm, like, in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oldest, middle, top.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, does your family get what you're doing?
Yeah, they do.
Like, they all see it?
Yeah.
Well, dad is a DJ.
Dad's a DJ.
Mom.
Yeah, mom and dad are, like, number one fans.
Was your dad
mom
a critic?
Creative?
At all of your music?
Oh, no, he loves my music.
Yeah? From the beginning, he was like, "It's I'm all in."
Yeah, he has nothing bad to say.
Is mom creative?
Mom is creative, and that's where I got my artistic creativeness
like,
from.
Like not physical from arts, like
like drawing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I'd be super young, like second grade. I'd see my mom like drawing and sketching.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was graph. That was the original element that you got into.
Mm-hmm, yeah, for okay. sure.
And that was what you're describing is you got more from her.
Yeah. Well, like from the just drawing on paper aspect, mm-hmm. which is like the first. Style, I guess you could say I was
yeah.
trying out, obviously, right. like you know, your thing on paper before you try aerosol.
Yeah.
Was there something from that creative process that transitioned you to music and vocals? Like, is there some part of the experience that's similar?
I think just being, like, in the whole, like, graph scene, like, the two, like, most popular genres, I feel, at the time, at least when I was doing it, was hip-hop and punk.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I got more into it.
Yeah.
And then I just really gravitated going to a lot of shows when I was younger. That was like all I spent my money on, the little money that I made, I would just go to as many shows and festivals as I could.
Right.
So I've always been a fan of music.
Yo, princess. With the polka dot dress, not impressed by the oversized flex. It's not the sex. It's your oversized text. The way you fuck up a wall, you yeah. really open yeah. my chest. You're my bittersweet princess. You're naturally lit, dewy-ass skin, always slipping out of my grip. Booty and hips, the more I just can't handle this shit. Moody ass bitch, I'd love to take you out for a spin. I got a couple gold cars we could go through.
Yeah.
Couple rainbows we could roll to.
Yeah.
You on the same road, yo, we could both move.
Yeah.
But you a star on your own. Una perra the way you hogging the bone. But I still love you, girl. Come on, let me make you part of my world. Everything about you makes me wanna put a pause on my girl. Danzo in distress, who's never stressed out. Let me be your man, I'll puff my chest out. And all you gotta confess now is
redemption. Let me go and holler my confession. Deliver me from sin, cause I'm a blessing. A bag full of peaches. Summer girls chilling by the beaches. Come on, yo, I'll race you to the weekend. Confession, deliver me from sin, cause I'm a blessing. Bad
bag full of peaches. Summer girls chilling by the beaches. Come on, I'll race you to the weekend.
Miss go big or go home. Catching power ups in the local. A day without a woman's bad, we both know. Why far nonetheless? Forced to fight patriarchy in a dress. But you use it to mainly mark me by my sex. I'm zooming over Daisy Hills. You're chilling up at Shy Guy Beach. Yo, what's the peace? Yeah, you go try to deny my lead. Not every princess is a victim from the crime I see. You're the bitch who needs to be rescued from a guy like me. I think I'm looking for a hero, but you're looking at a villain. Mad savage when it comes to all my feelings. You can pull your banana skin while I overlap you, cause I plan to win. Don't matter if I'm feminine or masculine, I'm better than half of them. The rest is just a joke and I just laugh at them. Trying to get to know me and I just rap at them. Robust a bust, not giving a fuck. Better than lust, you could beat the game with Princess Peach. Yo, who better than trust?
This is my retention. Let me go and holler my confession. Deliver me from sin cause I'm a blessing.
So is it the live performance element of it that attracts you to creating music the most?
I think that definitely has something to do with live music because of how many live shows I wanted to go. I just wanted to see everybody and anybody I could. I'd go to the big festivals, to the tiny little bar shows in Victorville, you know. I just wanted to go see as much.
Were you by yourself a lot?
No, I usually go with, like, friends.
You had, like, a group of people, like, that you guys went?
Yeah.
So did they know that, like, this, like, the music bug was kind of bubbling in you?
No,
like,
with I didn't the,
like, you were essentially...
I didn't have any aspirations to make music.
Okay. So Rev said when she said one of the things which I found, like, really interesting. She said everybody around me was rapping.
Mm-hmm.
She's all, that's just what we did. Everybody freestyled, everybody rapped.
Yeah.
And that was the same for you?
Yeah, for sure.
So.
We would freestyle.
Yeah. And were you all in from the beginning? Were you like, yo, I want to freestyle? Like.
Yeah.
Right from the beginning?
Mm-hmm. As soon as I spent my, like, first couple, like, sessions in a garage with, like, four dudes freestyling for 3 hours. I decided right then and there that I was going to learn how to freestyle.
Yeah.
And I taught myself how to freestyle.
Okay. So, and you're well known for the ability to do it. Let me ask you this, because I love to talk to people who can freestyle well. Can you describe, because we're still looking for the best way to describe it, what is happening in your mind for you when you're in that zone, like when the freestyle is just pouring out of you?
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm just kind of
so
like,
you're visually seeing it.
Yeah, like I'll even like look around in the room and it's like my mind is already just leading me towards the next thing, you know? Yeah. Or that's like one of my, like, I guess, styles or techniques of freestyling. I'll kind of look around, see what it is. But most of the time when you're in the zone and you're like, just keep going and going, it's because it's just flowing out of you, basically, for lack of better terms.
But you're the best ones. Like, we know, we have a really good friend named Rick Scales, and he's one of those guys who can, you know, like, there's a lot of them around that can just go for days. Yeah. It all makes sense. It sounds like his records. And he, like, I asked him, like, is it visual? And he's just, and for him, it's not. Like, we've heard a bunch of different ideas. I think Chesky said he just kind of, like, blanks.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I would kind of be more so like that.
Yeah.
Was there, when you first decided that there was, like, you're going to learn this, you're going to figure this out, can you remember the first sort of mental breakthrough that you had? That light bulb moment, like, oh, shit. I got it.
Yeah. I was in a van.
Yeah.
And we were smoking and we were freestyling.
Who was it? It was just
me
you.
Me and my homies.
Yeah.
Me and like some goon homies.
Just a night out.
Yeah.
And what happened?
And then I just kept going. And everybody was like, oh, like.
There wasn't like some sort of a thought of like, oh, wait a minute.
Once I was able to do it, it was kind of like I just couldn't stop after
like
that.
A breakthrough happened. Right.
Like Steve760 described it as, what do you say? Imagine you're looking at a cornfield, mm-hmm. and there's these crops of corn. such a white dude way of describing it, by the way.
So like,
shout out, Steve. You're milky.
He said, he's like, you're looking at this cornfield, and like, you know, you can't just run into that. It's just like, it's crops. Those things hurt. So he's like, you just start running, and you trust that it's going to open up, and you just keep running.
That's pretty tight.
Yeah, I mean, it was this, it's almost like that's jumping off a cliff.
It's like things just and moving out of the way for you.
Just, yeah.
For your energy,
right?
Anytime
you say cornfield, I just think of Interstellar. So.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that.
Kind of like that. I mean, you got to be tapping into... I mean, because to me, I feel like it is... It's very spiritual when I see somebody going off because you can see it. You know what I mean?
It's basically a DMT trip.
Absolutely.
So at some point, though, like, you're into freestyling. That energy is what's attracting you. And more than anything, live performances, that's what inspires you. Mm-hmm. At some point, you make a decision that you want to record some shit. Yeah. And that's a whole different
ballgame. Yeah, that's a big leap.
Yeah, that took a while, too. That took me, like, that took my homies pretty much talking me into it. Because I already had some friends that were making, like, really, really, really independent music at that time. I already had, like, pretty much, like, the same dudes that I knew that did graph. They are already doing their own thing, hip-hop, like, wise.
Yeah.
And none of that attracted me. They had a set-up little home studio in their closet for forever, and I had no, like, desire to go in there and lay anything down. That was just them doing their thing.
Why?
Because I just liked to freestyle. I didn't like to write anything down.
You liked the moments.
I liked being on top of that, off the dome. You know what I mean? Even one of my homies was like, "Yo, you have the voice. You have delivery. Like, you should try writing something." I even associated like writing your bars as like, "Oh no, nah, you're whack." Like, if you're not spitting off top of the dome, like, that's, I don't want to.
Because that's what was around you.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that was like my version of rapping. Mm. It was just totally like, the first time someone gave me a microphone, I didn't even know how to hold it. My version
of
rapping. I'm sure I held it so awkward.
It's okay. Yeah, I still haven't figured it out.
My version of rapping was in a circle.
Yeah. No, this is the interesting part, is that you're describing your upbringing, you were shy. There's still elements of that here, by the way.
Like, absolutely.
She's calculated about, like, how much words she needs to use in order to communicate what she needs to communicate.
Right.
So it's funny that, like, when it came to creating art, you were more attracted to the part of it that was a social experience.
Right.
Whereas,
which would get her out of the...
But recording the shyness, music and producing is a lonely experience. You're, like you said, you're in a closet. You're on a computer screen. You're writing alone. And so here is this, like...
Why would she want more of the same?
It almost feels like the thing that attracted you to creating music to begin with was a social tool to escape that shyness.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Sure.
But you haven't escaped it completely yet.
I don't know. I'll probably always have my, like, pullbacks.
But is it on, like on a more serious... Is it... Do you deal with, like... Because we ask everybody on the show, do you deal with, like, anxiety and depression? Have you ever dealt with it?
I think everybody's depressed in their own way. You know?
Sure.
But I've I've definitely had my turmoil, my experience with that.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning of me making music, I think I was going through what I would consider like the most transitional part of my life, which caused me to feel super fucking depressed for about like half a year, I remember. And that was also like the first half a year of me making music.
What was the trend? What, like, was it like just because you were leaving high school, leaving?
No,
what was happening?
I used to fuck around a lot when I was younger. I did. Mm-hmm. I drank a lot. Mm-hmm. I drank a lot of alcohol. You know, other shit. My mom's probably listening, but I decided to stop drinking alcohol.
Okay, like cold turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just said I'm done.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, like the.
Did you feel effects from that?
Yeah, that was
that. Because that's usually what happens. Mm-hmm,
yeah, I think I lost like 25 pounds and I was like super depressed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Now that I'm older, I'm like, okay, cool. I was just experiencing life.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That was that stage that I went
through. Well, there was definitely like physiological things happening though too, because that's exactly what happened to me when I stopped. I cut cold turkey.
Yeah.
And
you've been drinking a little while longer though.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And but when I quit cold turkey, physiologically, like, I didn't know this, but like I dipped into depression. I was like had crazy anxiety. But in retrospect now, I was also coming off, which by the way is the only drug to this day. We know this because numerous singers have lost their lives because of this.
Yeah.
But it's still the only drug to this day that will kill you if you are severely addicted and you stop. You cannot stop drinking. Amy Winehouse, there's tons of people who've died because of that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to quit.
Yeah, just keep going, bro. Yeah. You're doing fine.
I'm good for now.
Yeah, you're sober now.
Yeah, ish.
Day by day, man. Day by day. But, okay, so you quit, and then where are you at in life, like life-wise? Are things clicking, or are you happy, you know?
No, I was like, I think that's pretty much what contributed to me quitting is I was like, I was really into graph, but at the same time, I was also really into getting fucked up and being with my homies, and like, I had no goals, no plans. Like, I had, you know, I've always had a job, and I always had a car, so I was able to maintain that, but other than that, like, I had nothing. Like, I had gone from being somebody who had, like, you know, things going for them, and then I think I just kind of, like, let this fell into this hole, which a lot of my friends, you know, went through, is basically like just getting fucked up every day and running the streets. And that was my story. And then I had kind of like just went down so far deep that I realized like, oh, fuck, if I don't get out of here, like something's going to happen to me, you know? So.
Wow. I mean, but why do you have that? Like, why do you think your mind picked that kind of insight? Was it just seeing that for sure it was happening to people around you?
No, I had already, like, been... I had already... The thing is, like, I had already been experiencing things.
Yeah.
And use alcohol to, like, forget about what
like
had
numb
happened.
It. Yeah. Yeah, got you. Got
and
you.
It had been... It had already just been too much.
Yeah.
And so when I stopped, there was nothing to numb it anymore. There was no numbing agent.
Mm.
And so I was, like, just... I had to like relive the past like 5-6 years of me, like just running amok and the things that had happened. And it was kind of super like crazy how it happened. But like the month that I stopped drinking is the same month that I walked into like my homie's little closet studio and recorded like the first 11 bars I ever wrote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there's stuff that wanted to come out of you and you were numbing it, stopping that flow.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, it's interesting because we've heard so many stories like this on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's weird to me still, like in this day and age, right? Like how much like the general public downplays like whatever you want to call it. I choose to call it just energy or whatever it is. But how much they downplay it on how it physiologically affects you.
Yeah.
And you know, anybody who's ever dealt with like anxiety in crowds knows, because that's usually what it is. It's an overload of too much around you.
For sure.
And like, it's weird. Okay, so you're dealing with this like heavy shit. You're coming out of this. You step in. You record. First of all, were you dope that first time?
Oh my god, I was so fucking sick.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I listened to my first like few recordings.
Yeah.
And they're so sick. Like,
did you? But
literally the first time we've ever had that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to like, you know.
Yeah.
I've just never have.
Where does that come?
You're always confident that you're dope.
Yeah.
What about delivery?
I had it. And I think that contributed for me being able to freestyle.
Yeah.
You know, the cadence is there.
Did you notice that people around you didn't necessarily have it?
I was such a hip-hop head. Like, it was...
You had already studied it.
I wasn't going to do it if I didn't know how to do it, you know?
Wow.
And it was there.
Wow. So you... Okay.
Even, like, the homies that had been making those songs, like, prior to me, like, I would start doing little songs with them, and they would be like, yo, just do it by yourself. Don't put them on anymore.
Wow. Wow.
And that was, like, So the first few joints that I did, they were all feature songs because I didn't know how to write like verses or hooks yet.
So you had to be on somebody else's song, basically.
Well, it was the awesome part about it is that like the dudes in my crew, they made original beats. So I already, the first person that I made music with was my own homie, and he makes original beats.
Wow.
He's made original beats since the beginning. So I also didn't have to rap on any YouTube ripoffs.
Yeah.
I've always just made original songs.
So, okay. So like putting a lot of this stuff together, right? Like now, it is super clear why people would be confused. Like, because there is that part, right? Like, I remember hearing that too. Like, Val has, she always has beats, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I've always had
beats. Yeah. But most people, again, equate that with, like, a certain amount of, like, professionalism already. And, like, because people who aren't part of it, you know, they don't know. Like, if you just, sometimes I have to remind myself, we live in this world so much that it is very weird for somebody to pick up a phone and be like, hey, what's up? Come check out my event. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm sharing all my SoundCloud shit. Or I'm getting shit on Spotify. Mm-hmm. People don't know what the fuck that is, you know? Mm-hmm. And when they hear you like, oh, wow, she's got produced beats, like not like these other rappers that they can compare them to. Mm-hmm. It seems like, okay, maybe the package is there already. Like mm-hmm. everything's done.
Yeah.
She's just, you know. And now we know.
Yeah, I just walked. It was like I walked into it.
That's wow. That's, I mean, it's even more amazing. But do you feel now? I can also see, like, I don't, I mean, neither you or I are like ever talk about like regret much. Mm. But I, do you see looking back at the path and going, oh man, like I didn't, you know, like, yeah, a lot of shit could have fucking happened. Or do you even care?
No, I'm.
Yeah.
You mean like regret, like, do like coming into this? Yeah, for sure. I've written songs about it.
Yeah.
I've written songs about like the, you know, becoming the person that I did after what happened for me and where I came into, and if I wouldn't have ever done that, like who I'd be instead.
Yeah. You know?
That's interesting. So Malcolm Gladwell wrote The Tipping Point. He talks about how there's a very small percentage of artists in every field that are actual prodigies.
Mm, I believe that.
Picasso was a prodigy. And like a lot of the world has this concept, like they have this feeling that most artists just come right out of the womb and start painting perfectly and start rapping perfectly, doing all of it. And they're famous. And before you know it, it all just falls right into their lap. But what Malcolm Gladwell was arguing is that it's a very tiny percentage. Most artists are falling on their face over and over and over, fucking up over and over.
It's a series of failures.
Until they get better and better.
Right.
And I can tell you, like, this is episode 305 of the show. After all the years we've had, I think we may be speaking to our first prodigy. Because this pretty much had it from right in the beginning. Literally just had to get out of your own way. And what, the way that it is with you... Mm. And this is interesting. The majority of the population, not our listener base so much, but the majority of the population out there thinks that your path is the normal path for artists.
Yeah.
Whereas listeners to this
path,
show,
really. Yeah.
Listeners to this show are more in the know and they like behind the scenes information. They know that this is the rarity of the rarity.
Right.
Where right out of the gate, you're confident. Right out of the gate, you know exactly what you're doing.
Because they've heard 300 episodes that proves that.
Yeah. Every other guest we have talks about, like, and it's a source of pride for most of us, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was never going to be that good until I fell on my face over and over and over and figured out my voice. But you, at some level, were already aligned. Certain things were already aligned for you. Your parents were the perfect combination of parents. You were at the right generation in your siblings. Where
even like
the
friends saying like, hey, you should, instead of being like, nah, fuck that, don't let her do it. Right. Like they were like,
you didn't have
everything
haters.
Lined up.
You didn't have haters in your close circle. Your immediate circle was like, go do it.
Yeah.
It all lined up.
And they're still like my biggest supporter.
Yeah.
Because it could have been a complete disaster, right? Like, it could have been.
It is for most people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the normal rite of passage, I would argue.
And I know a lot of people, like, that are dealing currently with, like, a level of fame. Like, what comes with that, you know what I mean? Because, let's be honest, the fucking shit could hit the fan if you do not keep your head.
Yeah.
Like, it's just real. Like, we have enough of examples now where, like, if you don't, Like, take care of the garden. Everything dies there. The other thing everything.
That's fascinating is that, again, like, we interview artists from your generation. Mm. It's still fucking weird to us to have, like, your second generation hip-hop. Like, your dad was already hip-hop.
Mm. Yes.
Like, that's still fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that now hip-hop is old enough to have spawned generations. Sure. But that's, you already came in with that backing. And and here's the other part.
And the timing wise,
right?
Like, so crazy.
Yeah, and then the other part that's extra fascinating too is, again, like, you have this clear idea that you're gonna ride this wave for a while, and at some point you're gonna switch lanes. Which previous generations
because I'm
had
a
this
person.
Thought of, no, previous generations had this thought of once I make it, I'm a rapper forever.
Yeah, I'm good.
They're not thinking about whatever comes next. But you're already thinking about it before you even started.
I already knew as soon as I started that I wasn't going to make rap music forever.
Yeah.
You know, it was just going to be like my, what got me to where I needed to be.
When did you know you could sing?
Actually, singing was like my first musical experience. Mm. So when I was in elementary school, I sang for my school choir.
And you knew already, like, oh, I have at least a voice.
Yeah, I think like in third grade, that's when you can enter the choir, and so that's what I did. And then I think when I got to fourth or fifth grade, you were able to try out for like a much smaller,
it's
like a chamber choir, it was like 10 students, and I tried out and I made that. So that was like my, and the only reason why I really liked it is because A, I like to sing, it was kind of easy for me at that time, and then B, we got to go on a lot of field trips, so I got to leave school early.
Good call.
You know what's funny is, like, you can sing, and like, how many rappers have we talked to who are like, man, I really wish I could sing. Kind of got into rapping because I couldn't sing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's the opposite.
Like, you already could sing. You're like, fuck it, I'm going to get into rapping.
Yeah, I knew, like, I was able to, you know, sing, hold somewhat of a harmony, but I never wanted to be a singer. Mm. I even, like, made it a point to my, like, my mom would always tell me, like, go on American Idol so you can get me a house. I'm like, fuck no. I would get, like, booed off so quick. Like, I knew I wasn't, like, hitting no Mariah Carey notes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just kind of liked harmony. I think that contributes to my mom, like, playing Fugees. I remember being in, like 6th or 7th grade and, like, writing little, like, the Fugees had just released their album. So I remember writing, like, names of the album on a paper and putting in a dictionary and giving it to my friend, like, listen to this. Like, this is so cool.
That's what I have a thought, and I could be completely wrong. In regards to when you sit down to write a song, to actually create an original piece, I feel like your process is one where you kind of very quickly get an idea of what the song's going to be as you start writing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, okay, so no, this is why that's different, and it's interesting. And this is what I'm noticing about your general, like, thought processes. Do you play chess?
I don't play chess.
Okay, well, if you played chess,
I should play chess.
The kind of, you should play chess, because I think you would fucking kick ass at chess.
Yeah, I'd probably be good at it.
Because it's all about knowing 5 moves ahead what's going to happen, and I think that that's where your brain is generally wired.
Mm-hmm.
So even like sitting down to write a song, you're not just like start vocalizing, start writing rhymes, see where it goes. Like, you already know, like, this is going to be the song. This is the end goal. I'm going to reach that end goal. You have the same approach to your career, same approach to the way you interact with this thing that we call reality. That seems to be where the alignment is.
Yeah.
And that's the fascinating part about how you operate. So I wonder, I'm dying to know, like, I wonder where
I'm
that
bummed,
comes
man.
From.
I'm super bummed.
What?
That I know all this stuff now.
Yeah,
like, because I've been thinking about it. I'm like, why does this, like...
Is it disappointing?
No, no. It's just like, I finally found out, like, wow, like, that is... Because there's some assumptions I knew. Some things were completely off.
Yeah.
I think it's super interesting about how much stuff did happen to fall in place. That shit is super rare. But the older I get, the more I realize, like, how much of that we control by what we put out, you know? So even during your hard times, even when you were being whoever it is that you were, there was this inner attachment to, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, people go down that route, and sometimes that's the end. I have plenty of friends who've gone down that I'm just drinking every day, and they don't survive it.
Yeah, for sure.
For some reason, for you, you not only did you, like, survive, but you cold turkey. Like, that's... And then, like I said, then you walked into the studio. They were like, yo, that's dope. And then you were dope off the top.
Yeah.
So Okay, so this is why. So
I want to ask like some weird questions here.
Wait, hold on. Okay. I want you to do that too.
Okay.
You
here.
Still not? You're still not smoking? What's
no, on? Not during the interview.
Oh.
Because I'm at work, Chris.
6 years. What do you want?
They're listeners, you know exactly what's happening right now.
They've heard enough of these episodes.
You've been listening to a hip hop podcast for this many years. You know exactly what's going on in this room.
Yes. We were handshaking.
It's me. We're passing this library books back and forth.
If you're into hip hop, you know that you handshake every once in a while.
And then we go hip hip hooray.
Hip hip hooray. Okay, wait.
Before, go ahead,
so,
go ahead.
So the thing I was saying is like to know now that I think this is super dope though, and I think this is why. Like, when I meet artists and, like, I know they may not be, like, into the, like, interviews. Because I'll tell you right now, I fucking hate them. I've had to do a few.
Interviews?
I fucking hate interviews. I did pretty fresh, and we have to get interviewed pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
For that.
I love interviews. I like attention.
I know. Yeah. But I fucking hate it, right? And so,
why don't you send me instead?
But I understand the importance, because... And this is, to me, has always been the beauty about doing this show. It allows me one thing for sure. I could do whatever I want and then explain it.
Yeah.
Every time. So it takes away walls. So, like, if I try some crazy shit, I'm just going to come and tell you what I was thinking when I did that. And I think that's the one good thing about, like, the technology and the speed that it's moving right now, because you can consciously... And without losing your integrity, control your story now. There isn't really an excuse. You know what I mean? It's literally, if you feel you've gotten to a point where you're okay talking about your story, you can control the whole narrative all the way, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's like a very powerful tool because, again, you're one of the most requested interviews we've ever had. So those people were asking for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, whatever they were getting from the records, whatever they wanted, they were trying to fill in blanks. And that's what this does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Word, you win today. You're the big winner. You got good questions?
You know, I mean, honestly, we've answered a lot of these.
Really? You had questions ready? You've never done that.
No, it's not what I'm looking for.
Are you
I'm
just reading
for.
Your tweets?
No.
Just checking his tweets.
No, I think...
Can you read a Slum the Resident tweet too, by the way?
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Let's do that before it is over.
Okay.
I think Vel is what's considered intellectually gifted.
Okay, so... Okay.
So I was looking at... I was looking at... There, when I first discovered this years ago, there was only like two websites talking about it. Mm. Now it's...
There's a lot.
Fucking 7,000, so I'm not finding one that's clear, but... there's certain characteristics and certain traits about like the brain wiring. Like here's a weird one. Are you like especially sensitive to like clothing textures?
To clothing textures?
Have you ever thought about that?
I mean, like
if like something's itchy, it's like, oh.
Well, yeah, I for
you like
sure
soft
have, like,
shirts only.
I do
and,
like yeah. super soft shirts.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like itchy shirts, like the tag. Like I like tag.
Worn in pants.
I like
shoes.
Worn in pants.
Do you wear your shoes until they're done?
I do.
There you go.
For sure.
So yes on all of those.
Yeah, like, I'm not finding like a good website like this immediate second. But honestly, I think that that's what it is. I think mm-hmm. that a lot of your approach to it, and it's brain wiring. It's like a certain thing about the like mm-hmm. the brains of certain people on the planet are wired a certain way.
Right.
And yours is a problem solver.
Like
you
she might not be able to spell for shit.
Yeah. Well, no, here's the thing.
Or she doesn't know math or something.
I can
maybe she can't balance on one left leg.
The biggest misconception that...
I'm super athletic.
Are you? Oh, yeah. You were
into
that.
You're
saying that.
Okay. Sorry.
Gifted people tend to think like they might not do well in school at some point, so they think that you were doing well earlier. Picked up
and
the
then I just
Satan's tobacco and started smoking
fucking
it.
Fucking Satan's wacky tobacco.
That was your problem. But I think that's a lot of what it is, though, and your brain is wired that way. Vivid imagination, those are all parts of it. Are you concerned about the state of the world?
I am, definitely.
Okay, that's important.
Yeah.
Like,
sure.
it bothers you?
It does bother me, absolutely.
I've seen you be, well, vocal, or what, you tweet about it. I guess it's not vocal.
Yeah.
It's modern-day vocal.
Sure.
So, yeah, I've seen you be vocal about, like, your opinions on things.
For sure.
What are some of the strong, like, the things that you're the most concerned with, like, right now?
You mean like globally?
Yeah.
Like other, well, I mean.
Like what bothers you? What keeps you up at night when you're thinking about like, fuck, that's fucked up. Like, what are those moments for you?
Like America's current state.
Yeah.
And like what really fucking bothers me is like all of the, you know, well, our president fucking bothers me.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure.
I'm sure he bothers a lot of people.
Yeah.
And just like how we've succumbed, like come to this point of like we're being racial is
norm.
It's fucking normal.
Right.
And it's like it's really fucking sad that we have to experience that right now.
Yeah.
And it just like you know, like how we have KKK on the street and it's like open. It's so crazy to me like that America is still in this place, and I've been able to like travel outside of the country and I go other places and
right.
they're looking at us like, whoa, like what the fuck is going on over there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard from people in different countries that like it just scares them. Like seeing what's happening here scares the world because if this shit hits
and
the fan here.
And we're like, you know, supposed to be like the best
right.
country to live in.
Right.
In ways I feel, a lot of ways I feel when I leave the country, I'm like, damn, like their style of living, like their state of mind is much more pleasurable to live in than having
yeah.
like, you know, the ability to become a rap star, I guess.
Yeah. Is it, I mean, has that ever crossed your mind? Like maybe to live abroad?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Is that
going to
happen?
I can tell you right now that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And one of my very first interviews on B-Side, they asked me where I saw myself in 5 years.
Yeah.
I specifically said living in another country, making music in a little, you know, little crib of my own.
Yeah.
Kicking back, drinking coffee.
Didn't, we had, who's somebody, I think it was either J-Row, somebody from the Alcoholics lives there. One of the members, we talk to them, and they teach there. They're like, because you can get a stipend as an American artist, like if you've had...
Where?
In France, I believe. I think they're in France. And he teaches there at one of the universities, and that's just what he does now.
Yeah.
Like, he just teaches and makes music and kicks it. And he's like, dude, I've never had less stress.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you... In this day and age, with all that stuff happening around you, how much time do you get to, like... pay attention to your own stress? Like, are you a person who manages stress well?
I've definitely gotten better.
Yeah.
I've gotten so much better.
What do you do to like to help that? Do you meditate? Do you like
In a way, like my own form of meditation.
Sure.
I guess I kind of like, you know, like bring forward everything that's bothering me at the moment when I'm completely alone.
Uh-huh.
And talk myself through it. I talk to myself a lot.
Yeah.
I talk to myself maybe more than a normal person.
Sure.
But I feel like everyone kind of talks to themselves in a way.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing to do is like drive, and I'm always driving.
Huh.
And I'll just like talk to myself the entire
time. We just
time.
Talked about that on the way up.
That she's a crazy person driving
no,
around talking to herself?
No, I'm saying that you're like, yeah, some people like to meditate when they drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were talking
about people who drive long distances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. So
yeah.
I've also always traveled between LA, IE, and even Orange County.
Yeah.
And so like when people don't want to drive like 20 minutes, I'm like, yo, I fucking drive like
yeah.
3 hours
yeah.
a day, you know, like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite things to do is during like driving. Like I like to, I taught myself how to freestyle during driving. And then I'd even like write songs while being in the car, you know.
Yeah.
I like smoking weed while I'm driving. It's just like a...
Allegedly.
Law enforcement authorities.
And then also driving reminds me of like road trips, you know, like going to other places. And I think that's like my favorite thing to do.
Traveling,
traveling, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I reap the most like happiness from music is traveling.
Yeah. Huh? That's he shoots photography for the same reason.
Yeah.
Because he wants to travel. Like, ultimately, I want to stay traveling. Like, it's funny. I'm thinking about, like when you said Laced with Pearls, when that came out, I remember specifically, like, I had just started working with Bonnie. And I remember having conversations with Bonnie about, like, and it's so weird, man. Like, it's weird always when you sit down with the person because, like, I always wonder what it is, like, from your perspective, that conversations are happening, you know what I mean? Like, about you, about, like, you know, like people are breaking down the record and this is what she meant and this is how it goes, right? And obviously at this point, you know, that's just what comes with putting out a record. Yeah. But it gets extreme. I've read YouTube comments, you know, like I told Reverie, like, I mean, some of the comments I've read on her page, like you want to think this can't be a human being, like, saying
writing
this
those
shit.
Things?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it turns out they're real and they voted for Trump.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, it turns out a lot of them aren't. Yeah. They're just bots. But it's weird to see that and have that kind of energy come towards you. Are you able to block it out at this point?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you believe in, like, blocking somebody or deleting somebody, or do you do that?
Yeah, I think even before I used to be more lenient, where, like, I wouldn't even, like some, I would tell, like, people were probably throwing me shade, but at the same time, I was like, whatever, I don't even care. And then I just come to realize, like, whoa, this, I guess that's one of the perks of social media. You can actually fucking just block somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, fuck you then if you don't like this shit, you know? But really, at the end of the day, it doesn't really bother me. And I feel like maybe at least 70% of the hate that I would get in the beginning, which is not a lot. I even didn't even really have haters until like 3 years in.
Yeah.
So the first time somebody was hating me, I was like, wow, okay. Okay, now I see, like, where, you know, they come from, like, a little bit of success. But in the beginning, like, people would only, the only thing that they would say is, like, oh, I don't like the way she looks, or she's fucking ugly, or something. Like, so then it actually made me happy, because I was like, whoa, nobody's dissing my music. Like,
yeah.
Hell yeah, like, that's the only thing they could say, like, I'm good, you know?
How long did it take for you to, because obviously there's these, like, eventually, they're going to be very classic videos that you put out early in your career that a lot of people point to as, like, trend-setting. They're, like, people have copied a lot of the stuff. Like, how long before you were comfortable? Because we were just talking about this on the way up, right? One of the things that we kind of agree on is, like,
we don't agree on much.
We don't agree on much. But how hard it is to fucking do this. Go, okay. Okay, hey, everybody. Like, yeah.
Chris is holding
after
his phone,
a while, right?
Listeners.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm
who can't
talking
see what
to a camera, right?
Yeah.
And you'll put up Instagram where you're just looking at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
What's going through your mind when you're doing that? Like, when you're like, I'm just going to post something. Like, how do you get comfortable? Like, give advice right now. I guess somebody who's technically professionally working at this is your profession. Like, what advice would you give to somebody who needs to start doing that? Like, it's a part of their, you know?
I mean, it's probably, like, the thing that I found most struggling is, like, finding confidence, and especially being, like, public eye. And I think that had a lot to do with, like, the type of graffiti mentality that I had. And how in that element, being visually, like, open is...
Is everything.
Is no, you don't want that.
Oh.
You know, like, you're not.
Oh,
you don't want to be.
Oh, you mean
not? You're not supposed to.
You
be
mean as a person, like your identity? Oh,
your identity.
Yeah.
So, and because I felt like that was like my 110%, like, state of mind was in that form, it took a long time for me to find that comfort and, like, start letting walls down and, like, being more visually, like, out there. You know, being more of a public figure and realizing, like, okay, like, I can do this, you know? Like, I need to start, like, this is what's going to be, like, my career, basically. And this is what's going to, like, help me generate who I want to be so I can do other things that I've always wanted to do, you know, other than making music. And that took a while, and I still struggle, but I've definitely have gotten a lot more comfortable in being in front of a camera and, like, even doing interviews is something that I also didn't want to do in the beginning.
Sure,
We know. We've been chasing after you for a while.
Yeah, because Rev said, I think the advice she said was don't review, just post, like, to get into the, like, the practice of posting.
Yeah.
Like, she'll say, just talk to, because she's, like, notorious for just waking up and being like, hey, what's up? And then putting something up.
Yeah.
And I've always looked at that, like, wow, that's fucking, like, that takes brave. Like, you have to be brave to do that, you know?
I think it's, like, also, like, personal choice, too. Like, you know, there is a lot of people who preach all day on the phone, and I've seen multiple artists do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's actually like it's good, you know, yeah. It's in for good. But then, I don't know, at the same time, I still find
hypocrisy.
I still find, yeah, there's definitely hypocrisy. And then I still find like comfort in like not always being like open, like,
right.
You know?
It's probably always going to be a part of
yeah.
what you do, right?
For sure.
Right.
You have your tighter social circle, people that are closer to you in your life, and those are the ones that you enjoy exchanging energy with. But
yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, holding a phone and speaking to a camera feels draining.
You mean like alone? Like
sure, yeah.
Life?
But just like talking to an audience, talking to your fans. But you're doing it through a phone.
If I was gonna talk to people, I'd find more comfort in talking like face
right,
to face.
Right, face. Face to face.
Yeah.
Sure. But you're a professional musician who's on social media and has to talk to the internet,
yeah,
you know, and however they take that in, or
yeah,
however
I mean,
they,
I don't know if she does,
but no, like no, no, I'm saying, but you do though,
yeah.
You know, you are doing this, you're currently doing it,
yeah.
So, like, when you, like, the actual practice of, like, I'm going to record something. How do you basically?
When he'll record me, like, uh-huh. You know, doing something, I'm like. Are my eyes open? Okay, they're open. Good.
And that's it.
Yeah. The same way, if somebody, like, I have, like, I don't know how many people ask me for a picture at a show.
Uh-huh.
I just ask them if my eyes are open. And I won't, they'll say, do you want to look? No, I don't want to look.
Yeah.
Are my eyes open? Okay, that's fine.
That's
I don't
great advice.
Look.
Your tongue is also out.
Yeah.
Because I just,
you're like, the tongue doesn't matter.
What am I going to, oh, I don't like that picture. No,
yeah, yeah.
Another picture. Like, I don't.
Well,
a,
I mean,
I don't,
you've seen that, though, right?
I've seen that many times.
Okay.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you're taking pictures with friends, okay, that's different, you know? But if it's just, like, some, then I just want to make sure, like,
yeah,
the eye, usually I'm high, my eyes are kind of, like, a little closed, but as long as they're, you know?
That's good
all.
Point.
That is important.
That's, dude, I feel good about this interview. You feel good?
Yeah, I'm all right. I
feel like
so.
I've been in some kind of roller coaster.
Do you?
Really?
That's normal.
Roller coaster
right?
emotions? Yeah. Welcome to Crappy Awesome.
Yeah.
We bill $75 an hour.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
I see Fourth, you could be next, man.
Yeah.
We're going to book you soon.
Oh, you know, Fourth is even, if you think I'm, he's even.
Well, put it this way. We
there
had,
are no words.
We had Loudon. Yeah. We had early Loudon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Classic Loudon. The Loudon that I
was
like.
Oh my God.
The shy.
And I just did
before
a whole,
he was buff.
I just did a whole.
Apparently, Chris doesn't like
Loudon
now.
I just did a whole project
yeah.
with Loudon, so I've spent so
yes.
much time with Loudon.
Yeah. Amazing music, by the way.
Thank you.
Check out the project. Is that where you're giving us to play on the show? What are we playing on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're going to send music. In music, right?
Yeah.
What have they been listening to? Do you know what you're going to send us yet?
No.
She doesn't know it. You, whatever it is, it's dope. Obviously, she told you it was dope from when she started.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is very Loudon-ish, by the way. He was also the same way. He was like, I'm just going to figure it out. Fuck it.
Yeah, dude, he learned to DJ in 2 weeks. So, fucking let that sink in.
For sure. He figures out a lot.
We're looking forward
Except
to having
the
you.
Hairstyle. Oh shit! Yeah,
we're looking forward to having you back on. Like, I don't know, in a few months, in a year,
10, 15.
Like, see what's going on after you release the project. This time, we're just gonna lock you in.
We'll hit you around like the time you're getting your Oscar.
Yeah,
we'll just be like, we'll just have to wait till then.
Yeah,
dude, thank you so much. Honestly,
thank you.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, you may now flush the toilet.
On top of weight, it's like I've been contemplating your days and how I've been observing you, working you. It's enraging. How you think you can go and save me? I'm free to deliver my statement. I'm still the same person you referring to, but you got your plot twist a mix. So sick, so fix it. Turn it up, listen. Burning some incense, working the mission, researching my victims. I'm like this idea, lit up like IKEA. See, yeah, I'm right here. This ain't refurbished. What I'm serving you is all the original, critical, pitiful moves. Never the triple. Blues, I'm sicker than you. Never the typical blues, yeah, I'm sicker than you. My primary color bleeds the same time every month. Like I recognize that your fucking flex is a sign that your stump. I'll terrorize that your gut, frighten your future son before his life has begun. Might remove the one so it dies at the front. Demise of your legacy starts when I'm rhyming it heavily. I'll deprive of your anything for it might see the sun.
One of your made you think that you was ahead of me? 5'1", rise to the jump, that's ahead of me. You I've been time and it's sun, you were meant to invest in me. Find me heavenly steadily so I can study you readily. With time ahead of me, deadly, easily, one of my camp's greatest to date. With a timeless effect, abrasive, I'll take knives to your chest. Inflated spit rhymes on my breath, spit fire higher than death. You'll recognize all these signs when it's right at the end. The web finally ties around your neck. This life is my friend, so I'll fight for it any time that I can. In spite of my wins, body, now throw the trunk of the body. In the trunk, there's a body, a chunk of the chest. Reads off and I quote, you don't own me, that's right, in bold letters. Yo, she could go get it in one shot. She made your world go pop. Ayo, a whole lot of blood loss makes you stop breathing. But listen, when I say you can't feel it, platformcollection.com.